to call to order this meeting of the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission for Wednesday, March 8th, 2017. If y'all would put your cell phones on stun and stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Mrs. Lambert, will you call roll, please?
Tom Brzezinski.
Here.
Tom Gostecki.
Here.
Anthony Brodnick, absent. Rhonda Carey, absent. Dave Castellano.
Here.
LaVon Whitaker.
Present.
William Baker.
Yes. All right, we have a quorum. Next up is the approval of minutes from the meeting of February 8th, 2017. Any comments, corrections, modifications, motions? What say you? Let's go.
Mr. Chair, I make a recommendation that we approve the minutes as presented.
Second. Motion and second. Any discussion? Be there none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Against? All right. There forever to see what we do. Chairman's reports next. I'm going to try to come up with some new material, but it's hard because if you have a man-made structure, something to the value of $275 million, and you don't take care of it, things like that happen. It's very difficult to look at those pictures now that they're yellowing, now almost a shade of green, to realize that across our community, we had that kind of devastation not very long ago. This is what happens when you don't take care and have maintenance on an ongoing basis for any man-made structure. So as it relates to other things that our community is entertaining, building it's one thing, taking care of it is another. So let's all keep in mind that there's examples of things that have worked, have not worked, but as it relates to the community coming together, we shouldn't have to wait for an event like that before we make sure we know and do the things that need to be done for taking care of a man-made structure. Enough of that. Finance report. We need to do the approval of the claims for March 2017. Paying the bills this month, we're looking at $173,360.55. Is there a motion so we can talk about this?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we go ahead and approve the claims for March for the amount of $173,360.55.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Discussion. Mr. Repay, paying the bills.
As usual, I'll go through some of the larger ones, and if there's any questions, I also have some pictures that sort of goes along with some of these items already listed. So. $4,900 to protect the directors and officers' policy insurance for the Don Powers Agency.
Big fan.
I'm sure you would, and that's why I started off with it. The important things, Belmont Station, which is actually a smaller one, the good news is on it, it will be starting this Friday. So that's
when is that?
This Friday.
This Friday.
So long as it doesn't snow 6 inches. Okay. So we're going to be okay. It either snows or rains 3 inches around here. North Avenue levy, we've submitted. We've also submitted some more ribbon and some legal descriptions for the pump stations that need to be acquired as a part of our project. Even though we know that they're there, the Army Corps needs an interest, and we need to have an interest in them so that we can properly go on and maintain them, or at least the party, whether it's Hammond or Munster or whomever, but in Gary, that would be us. The large one, $11,000, for the Kennedy Avenue Bridge logjam. For those of you that have saw it before, the large rain that we achieved was quite clogged. I have a picture of the before of it from a drone, and so that you get an aerial view perspective of it. $34,000 for Burr Street South Pump Station. That is the retainage for Sweeney. That was a bid-out project. That is their final draw on that. They are finishing it off tomorrow. The reason why I would ask to get approved today is so when it is final, we can go ahead and pay it without having to wait for the April meeting. So that will be up and running and ready for inspection come June. And then Wisconsin Street, City of Hobart, pulled a draw for $7,600 for Wisconsin Street. Other than that, not sure what I'm...
Okay, anybody up here have any questions about the bills for Mr. Repay? Either none, there's a motion and a second. Let's do roll call. Mrs. Lambert.
Yes.
Tom Vazdecki.
Yes.
Dave Castellano.
Yes.
Lavon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Paying the bills. All right, Mr. Repay, get at it as far as what's going on out of the project.
Because you like pictures, I have a little picture story, but I will go through some of the projects now, and then the ones that I don't have, I will. We're going to go through mainly three things. The Burr South pump station, so you know what the rock system looks like if someone hasn't seen it already. We got a couple pictures of that. Mainly the Grant Street West pump station, which has caused us the most problem over the last 3 weeks. For those people that have come to this meeting, then certainly the board knows that we took that pump station over. When we took it over, there were four pumps, three of which weren't working. We were hoping that during the months of January and February that we wouldn't have any problems. Of course.
Like rain?
Yeah. So the fourth one decided to not want to help us or cooperate with us, and so that went down. We had to rent a pump from Griffin Dewatering, which needs to be maintained with fuel. And then while we were at it, we were cleaning out the trash rack and the whole three, four wells that were down there. And you'll see what the pump station sort of looks like through my little pictorial here, and hopefully you'll understand. It's interesting because actually the well is about 17 feet under the ground, so it's pretty cool. And I actually took the picture myself, so I got dirty. So it was pretty impressive. And so at this point, that station is completely clean. Unfortunately, we're still running on a backup pump. The new pump, the two new pumps and the sump pump won't arrive till after the 13th. I think the set for that will be the 13th or the 14th.
Of March.
Of March, so that's next week, Monday or Tuesday, is what they're supposed to deliver them and put them in place. And we wanted to make sure that they were as clean as possible so that we weren't putting them back into the same stuff that probably caused their demise. Hammond Paving is under review. Gary North Paving is under review for permits. 35th and Chase Levy is under review as well as the manhole extensions. And so those are all ongoing projects that we hope to receive permission for by the April meeting so that we can bid them out and have them ready for construction this summer. I believe Natalie's going to talk about Homer mitigation, and there's a groundbreaking. We did do work with the Audubon Society of Chicago to talk about monitoring migratory birds. We are happy to announce that we are the only place where you can find a yellow-headed blackbird in the state of Indiana, so we're going to put a slip on. So that's a good thing.
Okay. Wait. Is this similar to the Indiana bat that has implications on some of the work that makes sure that doesn't happen again?
No. Okay. The Indiana bat is protected.
But this yellow blackbird.
It's just a rarity.
Oh.
It's a good thing.
Okay. A big fan of birds.
As well, you should.
Okay.
And then we have four potential applications coming forward from different communities and entities coming probably for our April meeting. So there's going to be an advisory board we're projecting on the 22nd of this month, and then we'll go and they'll probably formally present to you guys in April.
Okay.
But you will receive those applications well in advance.
Okay. And before I bring it up here, let me ask a question with regards to the Grant Street pump station. Is there an east and west? I keep thinking there's just one,
yes,
right?
Yes, there's an east and west.
All right, and we're working on west.
Right. East was always under our control as a part of the project turned over to us back in the 90s.
Right, so that's always been great.
That's on the side of the Iron Skillet, which, by the way, has got a great buffet.
Okay.
And then the west side. See, you got to
really?
On the opposite side. Right. And west is on the opposite side.
Well, the Iron Skillet is on the opposite side.
That's on the east side.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what we've always had.
Maybe we should just call it Grant Skillet then.
It's good stuff, I'm going to tell you.
All right, so the Grant West that we're working on, that handles all of Grant Street from the Borman all the way
to Ridge Road.
To Ridge Road and things west, obviously.
Correct. At where they have existing storm waters.
Okay.
So some of that area is drained through open ditches that ultimately make it through our 35th and Chase area by the...
But some of your pictorial is going to show what we're dealing with there, right?
We're mainly dealing with the station and what the station looks like, not what the manholes in. We know it's a 48-inch line that comes into that station.
Okay.
And I have the sizes of the pumps and everything, so.
Okay.
Hey, Dan.
Yes.
You indicated that two pumps and one sump pump are going to be arriving next week.
Mm-hmm.
When will they be installed and in service?
They'll be put into service that Monday or Tuesday is what I'm told from flight.
So they're bringing it back with the rock system?
Correct.
Okay, so it's drop it off, hook it up, and rock and roll.
Right. They're going to need a crane to drop off the two pumps, okay. drop the sump pump in, and then what they'll ultimately do is take out pump two, which is the only remaining one that shot craps on us, and they'll pull that one out for service. Although that rock system has already been ordered for that one since you guys gave authority to do it, so the only thing they'll have to do is evaluate it. If there's any major changes, they'll make the changes and then bring it right back. So,
and the controls for all that equipment has been checked out and works? Or
as of right now, they're working, but we have nothing to check it against. But there's nothing that says in the panel that there's a disruption in power to the pump. They just can't get the pump to turn over. But I think it's still advisable to have that panel dealt with because of there were some mice that were found in there that had been chewing on some of the wires. So I don't know how long that's going to be left. See, Bill, you have an entertaining job, and I have more entertaining of a job.
Yes, you do. But you also get to go to the skillet place, too.
Right, and I'm going to take you there. We're next time we go to breakfast.
All right, anything else for Mr. Ipe?
Hey, Dan, you had mentioned about in the finance report about a drone.
Yeah.
Do we keep videos of those? Do we use segments?
This was a one-time shot. They actually have a licensed pilot. You have to get them licensed now and registered. And so they took it up, and this was the area that they wanted to test it on because just the different angles. And so you'll see the picture. You can take video, bless you. You can take a video or a picture. I just have the still picture. But, you know, I know there's other people that have come to us and offered it, and I mean it's a great tool because, as you all know, most of that river is remote and you have to walk it to get to it in some of the areas where it's far off the levee. So it's a pretty cool picture, and it shows how deep the bad block was.
I'm just thinking along the lines of, you know, we always run into these issues with, you know, our friends the beavers down the system where we can't get to.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do some...
Can we do that before the leaves come back up and do a run of the place to see what we've got in some of those places, or is that something you've already explored?
I think we should get a proposal for it, because I don't know what that would cost. It would be either that or asking NIPSCO to use their helicopter, as we've done in the past, and fly it that way. We just take a handheld camera and fly it. You can do either way.
You and your iPhone hanging out the side of the helicopter?
I have good video. You want to come up? Here's the deal. We can fly in the helicopter, we'll land in the iron skillet, and we'll have breakfast.
Is that a service contract? Because, I mean, going out for bid, I mean...
Well, we can just see what the price is.
I'm more looking at it from a timing standpoint before all of a sudden the leaves come up and we can't see it.
Yeah, I've never priced out drone...
No, it should be just an hourly rate for...
Flying. I mean, it's 22 miles, 11, well, it's 11 miles, so 22 miles both ways, and you have to be careful because you have the high transmission lines that run through there, and the wind, you could, you know.
But we'd want the video, then archive it over the years, because that'll be pretty darn cool to be able to have that type of record as we start going.
We did.
You get the right guy, and you can come down to the culverts. That's cool.
It's three years since the last time we flew it over the top.
Okay.
So it seems like it's time.
All right, well, yeah, take a look and see what we can come up with that.
Like you said, I mean, the green's coming. So, and with this weather, it may be coming sooner than later.
And going back to Grant, I mean, that doesn't have a backup generator, does it?
No.
Either one, West and Skillet? No.
No. We don't generally have power issues in that area.
Right.
Just because it's densely populated with the truck stops and the other residential areas in that area. So we don't tend to have an issue out there. and I just cursed myself, but yes.
Right. But that east pump station, over the course of what, how long we've been doing this now, a couple of years,
sure.
has the power gone out to that ever during the storm? Because it seems that there's always at least one or two storms every year where the power goes out.
One time they had a trip circuit, but they put it, and NIPSCO, we're on, not their priority, but we were able to get it up and running. It's not, and the important thing about Grant East is it only really does a lot of land side drainage, not so much the, where the west side actually does the road itself.
Right. And then the one on the north side of the expressway does the expressway, though, but that's outside of our purview.
Right, that's not us.
That's not us.
Correct.
Is it in the watershed?
On Grant Street?
Yeah.
Are you talking about...
I'm talking about whatever pump station that needs to work to make sure water doesn't end up on the expressway.
Those aren't our pump stations.
Okay.
None of them.
Swell. Okay, thank you. Anybody else for Dan?
Okay. You want to see pictures?
Here's one question. Oh, the generator at Bernard.
Yes. There are 6 punch list items to finish. One of them is caulking around their connection where they put the electric in. And they were notified of that on Monday of this week to finish. And they were given, I want to say the 21st is the deadline for March to finish all those items up. But as far as our issues were the new, it was a gate, that I had to put a new gate at that location. If you've been there, you would know the gate is not well. But actually causing or building up the area and having vegetation is something that they will never be able to do, or they will, they'll be able to do it, but that won't be till spring to show that proper vegetation has taken place. Because right now it's just dirt and clay. And these rainstorms, it sort of washes away. And even though they have erosion control, it's still, they need to build it back up and make sure that the seed and the proper plantings take place. But that's the last thing that, there will be a while, in my eyes, before you see that to be paid out. Probably May, until they can show that it's grown.
Anybody else? All right, let's see the movie. All
right.
Popcorn?
No, I'm not that excited.
All right. I disagree.
No, trust me. I put it together.
So you have that kernel thing and you stuck in your teeth for 2 days that you can't get out?
I'll just be happy if it works.
All right, so here's my fine presentation. This will hopefully show you what Grant West looks like. Not sure what I start off with. Oh, I started with Burr South. I apologize. So Burr South was the one that we just finished that we're waiting for Flight to finish putting the rock system in. That's the size of the pumps. That's the horsepower of the pump, because generally I always get that question. And so I decided now to put it as a part of a slide. So when this is all finished, all 4 of these pumps, which are quite large, will have the rock system, which is the stabilization of the wires. What we were experiencing is, and a part of that type of pump was that they would tangle in themselves, and the impellers would start cutting the wires, which would cause us problems with high temp failure. So this is, if I'm going to work this, so this would be the old top of the tube, and then this is the actual stabilization force that they use, and I have some pictures that will show you as they're lowering it down pretty big. So there's the stabilization. that they use. Each one of those, or each one of the cables, are put in there so that when it starts working, it's not twisting inside the tube itself, and there's the little opening for all the cable to come in and out. So not that super exciting, but I figured since I talk about Rock System all the time, it's an extension to the top which helps stabilize the wires from tangling in within the motor. So this is our Grant West pump station. So here's our control panel. Up here's the platform. Underneath here is where you'll see here soon where all the tubes and pits are. This is the Acton truck that we have, and you can see, there will be other pictures. Well, they're vacuuming out underneath, and we'll go underneath to show you what it looks like. This ladder here, I'll show you a picture of what we found it at initially. And this is the pump from Griffin Dewatering that we have parked there, which ultimately goes into one of the pits and sort of takes the water out as best we can. It's a little bit smaller than what we're used to here. This is the size of the Grant West. Pump 1 is out of service. Pump 2 is in but not working. Pump 3 is out of service, and so is the sump pump. So we'll get all this capacity back, and we're going to save ourselves some money. Just to give you an idea, to rent the pump from Griffin is $2,700 a week. It's been in its second week. It takes, we fill it with diesel gasoline. It's 75 gallons, of which it's about $300 every time we fill it up, and we filled it up 6 times. So you've got Acton probably to the tune of probably another $5,000. This pump station, I've told other people, I've been in every pump station that we own, and this by far was the worst. I can't even give it justice. So that ladder that I showed you before is the top of a ladder that you end up going into the pit. This, just to give you an idea, this is about 16 feet high, so you have to figure that this entire area was filled 16 feet throughout when we first got to it and put the pump in. And you'll see the depth when I think this next picture will... I'm sorry, there's a up-close personal of our pump.
It's not supposed to be filled, right?
Oh, and that's... I mean, only in the most extreme circumstances is that supposed to be filled. Only if there was a failure, we had a failure. What you'll see is below this next picture, by the way, Bill, the iron skillet is right over there. So that's just so you know, then that's the east side. Yeah. So when you go down those stairs, what happens is there's a 48-inch pipe that comes in, enters in at this location, and this is the initial trash rack. I don't know if I can give it as much. I mean, this picture doesn't do it any justice at all. There's my blue shoe that was once blue. And we're trying to clean it off at least a little bit to get some water back flowing in there. It all came down when we started pumping, but it gets better. So here's the after shot of it from the opposite view. So we took that first picture from up here. The second picture, we opened the grate up and we took it looking into it. So now that's what it looks like currently. We cleaned up a little bit of that stuff as well. So it now functions the way it should. When I said there's like a catwalk in between, so if you can only envision me turning around from the trash rack, and here's a little catwalk here. Here's the catwalk goes here, and then you'll see another one in the second picture. It goes to the other way. And this is Lee, and there's Jeff, and they're just like hanging out talking about the iron skillet, evidently. So it's really nothing. Here's a better picture of it. If you see that light is the area where the sump pump pit is, that is directly goes to the outside, so that's why you have the light. Here's where pump one goes. It's a bad picture. It's dark. I'm 8 feet underground. It's not really that exciting. So pump two, and then this is pump three that also has some ladder that goes up there to view. And then down here is the actual pit, the ends of each tube themselves. So this is the end of pump 3, 2, 1, and then you'll see the pump over on the other one. This is the reverse view of the trash rack. What you can't appreciate is the fact that this mount here and this mount here is silt about 6 inches high on the back side. So what we were trying to do was stop the water flowing from in. We were trying to pump it and clean it at the same time. And then I came up with a great idea. Sorry. And we decided to go buy a tarp at the truck stop and seal it completely shut. So this stopped all water from flowing from this pipe and from in. So we had a limited time so that we didn't flood out anybody upstream to clean out the station. This is, once again, the sump pump pit. You can see the nice walls full. That's how high they were full. Down here is approximately 2.5 feet of silt. There is a 15-inch or 16-inch cover on this. This is the actual pump from Griffin Dewatering that we sunk in. So we know that there's a 16-inch sort of a like a screen on the end, and that is fully submerged. So we know the worker actually told me, because he got water in his boots and he wasn't too happy, that it was that filled. What was happening was the trash rack was so filled that it would go over the top of the trash rack, go over the catwalk, and end up in the pit without being filtered, which ended up, all this stuff ended up getting into our motors, which ended up destroying it. You can see what he was disturbing. Believe it or not, that's him down there with this vacuum in the sump pump pit, and you can see all the silt here that was being disturbed as he was taking out and trying to jet it out of the thing, out of the pit. And then here's just another example of the pit. It was dark. It was a bad picture. So that was that. Any questions on Grant West? I'm sorry, before I go to the next.
So how often are you going to have in the O&M plan to go after cleaning out those pits?
For this pit, it's going to have to be twice a year, in my guess, because of the amount of water that comes through. We usually, during the spring and summer and fall, we will have the other trash racks cleaned once a month because they're outside, easily accessible. That trash rack is inside, and to get that garbage out of there, you just can't pull it. Like, I just can't carry it out because I've got to go up 12 stairs to get it out. It's just not feasible to do. So what you're going to have to do is do what we did, was stop the water flow, get a vector truck in there to vacuum out the garbage, and then move along. This is a different one than any of the other ones because of its internal issues that we have to go, and the trash rack is internal, not external. I should say that. The other one, of course, is Burr South, which has an internal trash rack. So there'll be two of them will be put on the same schedule for maintenance. Because you just can't have someone go out there and pick garbage off the screen. You actually have to do it.
Yeah, may have to be more frequent, but such as even quarterly.
Yeah, I mean, but we're going, these are both new to us, so that's why we're just sort of I figured twice, because we guessed that hadn't been done, so you have 2.5 feet of silt. I hope that it didn't happen, you know, in a year. Yeah, and I looked at the maintenance reports, and I couldn't find anywhere where it was vacuumed up. So I was just, we figured twice, because we could do it during the dry season, once in spring, and then once before winter time, and you know, get it out. We weren't certainly expecting to do it.
What tipped you off that it was?
We were testing the pumps before, which was my next slide. We were expecting that rain event to happen on that Tuesday where people were talking, and it's going to get bad. So we had gone out there, I think, the Thursday or Friday before, and we tried to run it in hand to run it down, and it wouldn't turn over, and then it would trip out on us. And then we called, you know, everyone that we knew, and they couldn't get it to start. So we immediately got Gatlin and Griffin over there to set it up on that Thursday before the storm. We called them and I said, look, I have no choice because we have no pumps. So we've been running it basically nonstop except for this past weekend. We turned it off Friday night at around 4, and we turned it back on, I thought, around 8-ish. And then it's been running nonstop since, although they turned it off tonight because we're not anticipating any rain, and we're going to try to see how it goes. At $300 a night of filling it with fuel, we're trying to see. And we don't have any precipitation planned, at least I think snow not till Saturday, so we may run it for the weekend.
On the specs on the pump that you brought up, I think you had on Burke Street that the sump pump was, in comparison to the flow, or capacity rather, of the main pump, was like 5 to 1, whereas on these, I think it was a 207 capacity on the sump pump. Are we getting larger sump pump? Like 50 to 1, are we getting larger sump pump?
No, we're going to get the same, we're getting the same size sump pump. You know what? Honestly, if all three of these pumps, all four of these pumps are working, the sump pump and one pump should probably work. The second would probably be redundancy. The third pump, I mean, I
think we should.
That's a lot of water.
Yeah, I think we should have a spare though, because to avoid what we have with having to pay almost $10,000 for, you know, having to put a temporary pump out there now.
And the thing is, we could have gotten the sump pump earlier. The problem was, the pit was still full of 2.5 feet, and we couldn't get it to dry out. And so what we didn't want to do was take the sump pump that's brand new, put it right back into the same material, and then for it to cause it to blow out or to short out. So that's why we sort of went, well, we spent almost $7,000 on the new sump pump, and I would hate to destroy that one right away. So that was a decision, but we should have an extra sump.
Right? They have to suck all that sewage.
Yeah.
Out of there? Are they going to clean it too?
That's what it is now.
Okay.
It's clean. It's been jetted. The only tube that they couldn't get to was pump two, which was where the pump was already sitting. And they just, you got to work around it. So I would imagine normal water flow should probably break up some of that stuff in that area once they pull it up. So go to the rainstorm. Just want to really briefly tell you, because it's sort of exciting when you're out of the country, you get to miss storms like this. So what happened was this. I was actually getting ready to go call a sectional basketball game, and WGOB called and said, look, all the power went out in the Civic Center, so you're out of luck. I said, well, that's good, because I have another job that I need to really do. And so this storm happened, and those that were in the country when this happened know that it hit pretty hard and pretty fast. And what we also realize is that north of the river was roughly 3.5 inches of rain. On the river was about 2.75 to 3 inches of rain. And then everything north or south of 45th, say Main Street, was only 1.5 inches. So whatever hit us hard and made our gauges and made all of our hair stick up, because this is what happens. So this is the gauge station by Holman Avenue. And it's one that generally everyone tends to go to, but we have plenty of other gauges and other opportunities, but I figure this is the one that excites people the most. Generally, the river will respond to a 3-foot rise for every 1 inch of rain. So this one was just over probably 2.25 feet for every 1 inch of rain. So what happened was, it rained really hard. This is midnight. This gray line right here is midnight. So it hit. It drove to 12 feet, which on the NGVD site would be sea level, which is 593 or 592. So flood level or flood station in this area is 597. What we were worried about was the fact that we were getting 3 inches of rain. If that truly would have driven across the entire region, we would have ended up probably at 15. So, and the flood of record is 17.1. So that's why we were sort of a little bit nervous. And this page here goes to where we were at. We were all communicating. I talked to Chief Bradley and Gary. I talked to Dean Budden and Hammond and Chief Timmer and Highland and Munster. So we all talked about what was going on. And so we were in. This is Highland. This is what we call the EOC, the Emergency Operation Command Center. So we looked at this. They've got two TVs mounted on the wall. We could watch this. We had gauges at the pump stations for precipitation, so we knew all this information. So this was roughly just before midnight we were watching, and we knew that we were in pretty good condition after it went by. So just so that you know that that's what happens when something like this goes on, is that everyone tends to go together. I went out to, we have our own little thing. I was hanging out at our office till 5:30, went home briefly, and then this started around 9 o'clock at night till just after midnight. So, and then the last thing is, that was just to show you what happens during some storm events. And then this is the drone footage of Kennedy Avenue. People wonder why we're getting rid of Kennedy Avenue. Look at all these pillars that are nice, being the nice blockers for all this material. So we had to pay and to get all this removed. The funny thing was, the railroad track that normally clogs up, which is just to the west of here, was perfectly clean, so it must have dislodged. And this now is clean. I don't have an aftershot, just because flying a drone in 50-mile-per-hour winds isn't advisable. So that is my picture show. Hopefully it was exciting. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. And it worked, Bill. The pictures work.
That picture going west.
The picture is looking east. So this is Byway Brewing. This is going to be Highland Public Works. This is the fireworks stand, and then over here is Spiro's and the Wendy's and all that.
That's Spiro's.
That was good.
Yeah.
Great.
Those are outstanding. Only requests, like we've talked before and afters are always fabulous from the same location, and then that way people see how we get it and what happens when we're done and what it's supposed to look like. So that's a good job, especially considering that event. That's some scary stuff after most of us experienced what's on the board. So thank you for that. That's going over and beyond. All right, moving right along. Mrs. Mills, anything from the Army Corps of Engineers? I don't know if your microphone's on, but if you could help with that, that would be great.
Good evening, Natalie Mills with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. We're continuing to make progress on both the management and construction activities. So I'd like to start with the Hobart Marsh mitigation, where we are with that. I'd like to bring to your attention two pending contract modifications that we have on the Hobart contract. The first one corrects the contract documents of an error in transposition from the design to the solicitation. So what happened was, in the contract said, we indicated that we were going to remove 50% of, it's called Hawthorn, tree basically. And we realized after the award that it was supposed to be at 100%. So we discussed whether we would want to leave it as such. Is it sufficient at 50%? Do we want to go to 75%? Or is 100% really required? So we talked to the contractor. I talked to a couple of the planners at the district. And it was decided that 100% would be the best option in order to ensure successful mitigation at the end.
Oh, I'm not letting that go. So before we even started, it was a 50% error?
It was an error, yes.
So how much is that?
$288,000.
So we have to pick up a $288,000 mistake done by the federal government?
25% of the $288,000 omission or error, yes.
So if you're sitting in my chair, Mrs. Mills, how would you handle something like that? Just out of curiosity.
I understand that you all are not overjoyed about the situation. It is, unfortunately what the situation is. And we're happy that we caught it early. I understand your frustration. But we just wanted to put it out there.
Because we all seen this movie before. Okay, so we're starting off already with another...
6% add to the contract? Out of the gate. And have you started established the unit cost for the extra trees?
We had our own government estimate, and the contractor provides. You're talking about for the contract modification?
Well, yeah, it's a unit cost adjustment, right?
Correct.
X number of trees.
Acreage.
By
no, it's the acreage.
Per acre.
Cost. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we had our own cost. The contractor had their own cost, and then there was a negotiation.
I mean, it seems pretty convenient that they just write a 6% increase to the contract right out of the gate when you basically knew it was there to begin with. I mean, by your own admission.
That we knew the error was there?
Yeah.
I don't know that we knew the error was there at the time when we issued the contract documents. We certainly thought that it would be 100% and some kind of way the document, it was transposed in the chart that it was provided in. Okay, so...
is it going to delay the project or hinder its timeline?
No additional time associated with the change.
All right. What other aspects of the contract were performed by this particular group? I don't know which part of the bureaucracy did it. Did they work on other aspects of what was being set for this project, and have those been reviewed as well?
They have been, yes.
I mean, counting trees I don't think is tough. I mean, but, you know, when we start getting into the modeling and the other aspects of what needs to happen, it gets into a little bit more of the engineering component. Is there?
No, it's not the same section. It's looking at the modeling.
Well, I don't know. Money is green, so I don't care what it is. It doesn't, you know, it's still of the aspect of who else is looking at these types of things to start off the project that everybody's been clamoring for years. Mm-hmm. And it starts off as a mistake. I know you didn't do it, Mrs. Mills, but you get to come and do this with us every time. So, and it's not like it's fun for us.
No, it'd be nice. It's not pleasant for me either.
If it would be efficient, done economically, and under the time limit, that would just be outstanding.
Sure.
I mean, the last three phases, I don't think we had but minimal change orders. And
you talking about like stage 8, 7, 8?
7 and 8, right?
Six.
I think it was very minimal, but stage 5 was a complete debacle.
Well, that's because now that was before the flood. After the flood, all the people here knowing what they're doing are paying attention to it.
Well, I mean, there was processes in place where you guys were reviewing the documents and reviewing the bid documents, and nobody could catch the fact that we're not taking out 50% of the trees. It just seems to me like it's.
Do you happen to have your schedule that you gave us?
And for Hammond?
No, for the Hobart Marsh.
I'm sorry, no, I don't know about the Hammond.
Because I'm looking at it was one page, and I'm trying to identify the clearing activities that were part of the basis of the contract. So this is, what yeah, selective clearing.
It's selective clearing. And so the selective clearing.
In what particular parcel?
All of them. There's hawthorn in all of those parcels.
So it's doubled almost, the value of the clearing.
No, because the acreage is variable. The price is dependent on the area that you see. I don't remember the names of them right off, but each one has a different unit price.
You mean like Oak Ravine and Oakwoods, phase 1, phase 2?
Right.
But
yeah,
I mean,
they each have different
61,
price.
240, 260, 350, 390. You're at like 400,000, basically, 420, whatever, so it went up $290,000, mm-hmm. Almost 100%.
But, Tom, this is why the project was originally $125 million, now it's almost $300 million.
Well, it's embarrassing. If I was the Corps, I'd be pretty embarrassed. It's terrible representation.
All right, I'm sorry, Ms. Mills, go on.
The next one is a drain tile modification. So that was intended to be a separate contract. Right now it's in the Hobart Marsh Mitigation as to be performed by others. And we decided that it would just be more cost beneficial to just modify the existing contract rather than to do a whole new set of plans and specs, mobilize a whole new contractor. We thought there'd be a cost benefit to just modifying the existing contract and including that work there. I don't have the price on that feature of work quite yet. The request for proposal was sent to the contractor, and I understand that there are going to be some negotiations required based on the contractor's price. So it was work that we anticipated. I mean, this was not something that we didn't anticipate would have to be done. We just thought we would do it as a separate, a standalone contract.
And this is for drain tile?
So what we're going to do is have the contractor to install valves rather than to break them up in place. So they'll be able to turn them on and off so they can monitor the hydrology and see how they want to, you know, how you want the water to be restore. Based on the plantings and the trees that are in the area.
And do you guys have if it's in the scope of work somewhere but just not determined who was going to do the work, what's the projected value?
Approximately $200K.
Yeah, wow.
Go ahead, Mrs. Mills, what else?
Okay, as...
when are we going to start the thing? How about that?
It has started. Mm-hmm. They've started the clearing.
Okay.
They've been out there about a month now, doing some clearing.
If they take some pictures, if you can get those to the office, that'd be great. Because I'd like to see how they go about doing it and what all actually happens. Since we don't have any say in this other than writing checks, it'd be nice to see how well they move through this project.
Okay, I can do that. As Dan indicated, we've scheduled the groundbreaking ceremony for April 24th at 11:30. The location, which particular track, is still to be determined. And we'll work those details as we get
closer. Whoa, did you say groundbreaking? Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're cutting ribbons.
Well, ribbon cutting, we usually have that.
At the end?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is the shovel part.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The shiny shovels.
Great.
Okay, so the Hammond
for $272,000.
The Hammond Tyvek contract. So they're still moving along with their submittal process. They handed out some flyers apparently to some of the residents to notify the public of the construction commencement. I found out that they handed them out to residents at 172nd Place and State Line from 172nd to Lawndale. So I spoke to Ms. Ono about the parameters, and she suggested that we maybe go to 172nd Street rather than Place. And so I'll ask the contractor to expand the notification limits. They're scheduled to mobilize on the 20th of March. They had initially said the 13th of March, but they're a week off from what they initially said. No modifications pending on that contract.
No, we're just going to start later, that's all right.
So that one's moving along. Okay, as far as the conditional letter of map revision, that is moving forward. We got some comments and we responded to their comments back in February, so we'll wait to hear back from them on if they have any additional comments, questions for us. As you know, that we won't be able to finalize that until the end of the Hammond Tyvek contract, when we can have their as-built drawings. And so we'll provide those at that time. So
these are questions from FEMA?
Mm-hmm. FEMA, yeah. Well, actually, it's STAR is the company who they have. They have like an agent or something to actually does the review for them. Lastly, the Type 2 IEPR contract is scheduled for award on 31 March 2017. And that's basically to review the remaining construction features of work. So they'll look at Hammond. They'll look at some of the as-built drawings They'll look at what's proposed for Sophomore. They'll look at Gary Tyvek, Munster Tyvek. It's basically looking at life safety.
That it?
That is all. Any questions?
Any questions for Mrs. Mills? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you all.
After that fun, next is other issues, new business.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to make a motion that we open the bids for the Gary South Levy paving project and award to the lowest and most responsible bidder, pending review by the attorney and our staff.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Mr. Repay, paving. Gary South, just for those that might not know, where's Gary South? And Gary, I know.
Gary South is from Chase Street at 35th Street all the way to Martin Luther King as it passes the Iron Skillet and goes around there. And we have two people that have submitted bids, and so I will open them. And
okay.
By the time you guys are done with the other things, hopefully you can report back to you.
All right, so only two submittals for that. Got it. Next item for new business, other issues.
Sure, Mr. Chairman. Since we need to acquire some properties in Lake Station for flood relief, I'd like to make a motion that we authorize our executive director to purchase properties in Lake Station on behalf of the Low Calumet River Basin Development Commission that are necessary for flood relief at a maximum price of the appraised value plus 10% if necessary.
All right, there's a motion and a second.
Second.
All right, second. Discussion on Lake Station. Dan, can you explain that, why you open up those?
So as a part of the SEH report, it was determined that there were areas in Lake Station that were exposed to the bad
water. That was the watershed report? I don't think probably everybody knows what that
deep,
is.
It was a deep river report. So it took from just north of or just south of Deep River all the way to the confluence with Little Cal. And so what it was determined that there were the backflow or the backwaters of Deep River as it was merging with Little Cal would cause flooding or could cause flooding back into Lake Station from roughly the expressway back to Liverpool. So what you're authorizing me to do, which we've done, but this will be formally done, is to acquire the properties necessary to build a levee in that area to protect 260 some residents that would be affected in the event that we were to have anything near the 2008 flood of record again.
Got it. Any questions with regards to that? Mr. Wicklin, would you recommend that we do a vote on each of those motions, or could we be efficient and do them combined?
Combined.
All right, we have two motions, 2 seconds. Any questions, gentlemen, as it pertains to any of those motions? Be there or not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? There you go, Mrs. Lambert. I saved you some time. All right, Dan, how are we doing?
One down.
Who are the two bidders?
So the two bidders right now are Reith Riley and Walsh and Kelly. I opened both of them unofficially without review of the attorney. We have Reith Riley at $237,607.57. So it's 237,607.57, and Walsh and Kelly at 299,810.00. So 299,810.00. So on its face, Reith Riley would be the lowest bidder. But once again, I would have that reviewed by our attorney more thoroughly, I guess.
Could you share with the general public what the engineer's estimated value was?
Sure. We had estimated at $306,000 was our estimate as to what it would cost with material and to place it.
Maybe the Army Corps wants to subcontract one of our engineering groups so they can help with their budgets.
All right, that was new business for Mr. Gazdecki. Mr. Castellanos, anything to add before we go to statements of the floor?
Yes, I'd like to inform everybody that I'm hoping that you get a chance to listen to our radio program we have on March 13th. Monday, we're going to have Bill, what's his surveyor's last name again?
Emerson.
Bill Emerson will be appearing with us. And the following month, we have a very special guest that I'll let you know then. But please listen to Channel 1370 AM, because what this does is that it's bringing all of Northwest Indiana together as far as comments is concerned. So please get a chance. It starts at 9 o'clock, 9 to 10. Thank you.
It's a teaser, a special guest.
Yeah.
Mr. Gazdecki.
No, sir, nothing to say.
Mr. Wyszlinski.
I'm good.
Mr. Whitaker.
My appetite is wet. I don't know who the special guest is.
It's you.
David might be him, but go well await. But no further comment. I would just simply like to say I'm glad to see projects moving forward. I do hope that as we continue to go forward, that between our pump station maintenance and our meeting of our requirements for the Army Corps of Engineers, that we have a successful year. I know we put a lot of work into it. We got a lot of projects that are up on us for 2017. So I'm looking forward to us really doing a lot of good work for the balance of 2017.
Thank you. Mr. Wicklin.
Nothing to add.
Mrs. Lambert. All right, favorite part, statements to the board from the floor. If you'd like to address us, please come up and state your name and address and help us move this thing forward, please. Yes, ma'am.
Lori Zalmo, 7142 Forest. Did you miss me last month? Did somebody get up and speak on my behalf? I guess I have a question for Natalie. While you were out, the gentleman was taking place, Mike Padilla. We had spoken about the contractor taking some photos of the neighbors' front yards and the like before the construction started.
Okay.
So should damage be done, we have some frame of reference. And I don't know if that made it to you, but it would sure help us. Thank you.
That's it. Thank you. Anybody else? They yell at me when I give it too much time. All right. Thank you. The next meeting is, it's going to be April already, April 12th. We'll do a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you, everybody. Happy spring.